You know, like I said, I was going to try to get through targeted therapy first, but let's just jump right into venetoclax. This is kind of something I just started hearing about in the last few months. And, you know, at least from the point of view, as you say, in terms of palliation of extending life, this seems to be something that people ought to know about. So can you talk a little bit about what we know at this point about hypomethylating agents of venetoclax in AML, particularly older patients?
So the venetoclax, of course, was quite an effective drug in CLL, in particular these pretty nasty 17p deletions. As a single agent, it was studied in AML, and it really was no great shakes, nothing terribly impressive. Why it works when you combine it with a hypomethylating agent, maybe all targeted agents work better when you do that, but this one was perhaps the easiest. And it really did something dramatic. All of us had been used to doing these trials. We really sat up and took notice that these patients were just sort of flying into remission. And this was this same crowd that had been such a challenge before. They're 75. Their oncologists has referred them to us because they didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, 30 days later, I'm calling up that oncologist. Hey, guess what? I've got your patient. He's in remission. It's in your books now. I want you to give subcutaneous AZA. He doesn't need a central line. I don't know how long this will last, but you can come in and get treatment every 1 or 2 months. The data were just published, and the doc wanted to know that publication, so I forwarded him on. It's 145 patients. They were treated with a mix of either decitabine or azacitidine, although the lean is more toward AZA, a little less myelosuppressive. That said, you can do this in an office. You can do this at home. The patients, if they need to be admitted, it's very brief. And the data are pretty consistent. A response rate, something like 70%. We looked at ours. A response rate in a clinical trial is a tricky thing. I viewed our patients as more, well, what's practical for my patient? A complete remission. When I say complete remission, I want that patient not transfusion dependent at all. I want them having stone cold normal counts. That happened more than half the time in this older population. If you take out the TP53s, it was even higher. So again, separate the TP53s. We got some CRs in the TP53s, but separate those out. And all of a sudden, I think this is a wave sweeping the country, at least in terms of AML therapy. It really is going to become a new standard of care, certainly for this population. Actually, now people are bringing up, why not for the younger ones? This works better than chemo, we think.
You know, the other thing that's really fascinating about this, you know, in our version of the consensus conference is we asked 25 investigators, like, what do you do in your practice? And for example, if I ask you, outside a clinical trial setting, you've got a 70-year-old patient with AML, what's your standard first-line therapy?
Well, so at this point, my standard first-line therapy is AZA and venetoclax. And in fact, I was at a meeting at Baylor University, a visiting German clinician and a prominent one in the cooperative groups in Germany stood up and said the same thing. Oh, we're getting the drug off label. Insurances are paying for it because it works. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah, a very good quote, value, as they say, cost effective in a way. Actually, interesting when you think about all the morbidity that it's avoiding.